Views expressed here are not supported by and do not reflect those of the Evening Rush Network. Viewer's discretion is advised.
Hey, babe.
Yes, ma'am.
What do most men want in a woman?
Realness, authenticity, a woman that's intelligent, that...
Sure, I understand it, but everything seems brighter now than before. I don't know why I feel this way, but every time I hear your name,
put that foot down now. That's awesome.
All right, done. You get a twist
that is.
Look at this fine thing at work.
And I don't fall in love so easily, 'cause I don't wear my heart up on my sleeve. Yeah. I don't know if you feel the same, but every time I hear
listening to the Evening Rush Network.
Yeah, we are back.
We are back Wednesday.
Yeah, how are you doing? I'm gonna switch it up on you.
Oh,
how are
you doing? Oh,
it's Wednesday.
You know, I actually feel really good. I was tired earlier. I think it's all the workout and the late nights. I started cooking. Like I'm baking everything. I'm cooking all our food from scratch, and so I'm excited about this journey, and it's just keeping me up. So. Yeah. I'm not sleeping as much as I was, but you know what? It's giving me a lot of energy. And I think when they say you find something that you love, it just energizes you. And I found what I love. Yeah, what about yourself?
I'm good, man. You know, same old, same old.
No complaints.
No complaints, if as it was, always, no right? living in the present moment,
yeah,
and accepting what is and what's not as well, right? Like, I think that there's a power in that, and that's what I've been trying to practice every single day,
mm-hmm,
is just letting go and letting God do what he does, and whatever comes is supposed to be there, whatever leaves or doesn't come, that was supposed to happen too,
mm-hmm,
and just accepting it all and taking a step back from it all and seeing the reality of everything. And it's been good, you know. So all that to say, I'm good.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we hope you all are good, whoever's watching,
yeah,
us. We are elated you joined us today. This moment in your life is an investment to better your future, self, and your relationship. Welcome, everyone, to our Wednesday show on the Evening Rush Network. If you don't have the app, I don't know why not. Go download it right now.
What are you
so you can
for?
Go back, all right, and check out our other videos. And what our other host? Welcome to Chad and Linnell, my Bulletproof Marriages. We have been married for 19 years, going on 20 this year. Whoop, whoop. And we have four amazing humans that we are raising together here on Earth. And we live in the love state of VA. So if you're from VA, shout out. We,
yeah,
love you. Thank you. If you're not, it's all good. We still love you anyway. And if you,
right,
you know what,
you're
if
right,
you want to call in and, you know, have some questions answered while we're on here, the telephone number is strolling at the bottom of the screen, but I will say it. It is 929-282-0266. Call in, give us questions. If you don't want to and you would like to DM, I said DMS. Yes, we're on Facebook, so you can hit us up. Or you can email us at mybulletproofmarriages@e360tvlive.com.
Yeah, and I encourage you guys, because like I keep saying, it's better for us to know what you guys need, right? So that way we can, you know, deliver content that's hitting home, answering questions, assisting you on your journey in life, in your relationships. Today's a good one,
mm-hmm,
because something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, you know, I don't know if it's because they just don't think it, corresponds in their relationship or has something to do with their relationship, but it's to do with our kids, man. And you know, the whole reason we're doing this show tonight about having open and honest communication with your kids is because, and leave it like it says, the open door for your kids, is because we just had a moment with our youngest, and this just happened this week, like a couple days ago. And you know, I was outside working in the yard, and Linnell was helping him. We homeschool him, so they were doing some schoolwork. And here lately, like the last, you know, few months, we've caught him saying that he's dumb, right? Like he gets frustrated with like some work or whatever, and he's like, "Man, I'm dumb. I'm stupid. I can't do this." And we're like, "No, what are you?" You know, we don't say that to our kids, right? Like we try to always tell them how intelligent they are, how capable they are. And so we didn't understand where it was coming from. And finally, the other day, he gets frustrated and he's saying he's dumb. And Linnell asks him the question, right? Like, what did somebody tell
him? Yeah, I was just kind of like, "Hey, did somebody say that when you were in school?" I was like, "Did somebody call you dumb because you didn't have the answer to a question that a teacher asked you? Or were your friends making fun of you?" You know, that type of thing. And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Well, where does that come from?" I was like, "Because it's a story that you're telling yourself and you're starting to believe it, which then is showing up every time that you don't get an answer right. And then it's frustrating you. And then now it's turning into a moment of negativity. And so I just need to know, where did that root come from? Because if we can't help, right, extract anything that's not supposed to be there until you pull it from the root." And so he said that he had a teacher in kindergarten and it stuck with him. This child's in sixth grade going on seventh grade. And he never told us this. And he said had assistants in school. So he's always had a general ed teacher. And then he's always had like a special education case manager that's pulled him out to give him more assistance. And so he was saying in kindergarten, the assistant case manager will pull him and a group of other kids out and I work with them in the classroom, in her classroom. And when they didn't get the answer right, she would take a pen and she would throw it at them. I was heated. And he said, and then she would call them, "Oh, you so dumb. You are so stupid." You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "What? Hold on. Like, you talking about?" Like, I knew everybody that worked with him, so I was like so confused at this moment because everybody seemed so loving and he didn't show any signs of being, you know, afraid of anyone or intimidated by anybody. So I was very much taken back, and I went and I got the yearbook and we pulled that joker out and I was going through and showing the pictures, and then he showed me, he's like, "Her." And it really upset me because the fact that I knew her pretty closely, like we had went to parties together, events outside of school, but they were, of course, just work related. And she never said anything negative. She never once showed that, you know, she didn't love the kids.
No, but you saw that she.
But what I knew about her because of outside, you know, events. I knew that she did that to her own children. And so even though I knew she did it to her own kids, well, that's your own children. Of course, that's how you want to parent them, do that. But I didn't think that she was doing that inside the school setting that she was working with other people's kids. And hindsight 2020, I should have known better, right? I should have really known better because, you know, you really don't change much of who you are regardless of where the setting is, if no, that's just who you are.
You do exactly that. What you do in the dark when you have that type of setting where there's no eyes on you, what do you think you're going to do? Exactly what you do at home in the dark. Okay? I'm just saying like
that's the truth.
People act like that just goes away.
Right. That's what I mean. It's not like it's just going to go away, but it just turns out I just didn't think that she was going to do that to somebody else's children. That's what I meant.
I know.
And so it really did. It heated me. It did. And I, I wanted to go ahead and call her up and I wanted to, you know, do all of that. I wanted, you know, but then I realized that was like 6 years ago. And yes, could I go ahead and still confront her about it? Of course, of course. But what would that do, right? One, she no longer works in the school setting. She actually stopped after that year. She stopped working in the school. Two, that happened 6 years ago. So that's of the past. And three, that wouldn't change anything. If she was still working in the school system, would I would like to say to somebody, yes, because therefore that means that she could be doing it to several other kids. But because she's not, and I know that for a fact, then therefore she might be still doing that with her own children. The reason we're bringing this up is because of the topic today that's what made us think about having this conversation. You don't always know why triggers and reactions happen in your kids the way they do until you allow them to have an open door where they feel comfortable enough with you and your guard is down. There's no judgment. They feel like they can just open up to you, even if they feel like you don't understand, even if they feel like I really didn't want to share this with you. Or I could handle this on my own. I didn't really need to share this with you, which is what my son thought. My son thought that it wasn't just happening to him. It was happening to the other kids. He didn't feel like he was alone, but he also thought it wasn't affecting him. Until he realized this truly is affecting me. Like I was like, it's affecting you. Whatever's going on is still showing up. And it's really changed actually his attitude in the last like day, because he's been able to come around to want to be like, talk to us more. That's what it is.
So what I want to point out before we get to the points that we want to make is, notice that this happened 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. We're talking about having an open door for your child or children to be able to be open and authentic and just talk to you about what's going on, what they're feeling, right? Well, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, obviously that door was closed. At least that's how he saw it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So as parents, this is good to reflect on, right? Like, you know, we look at everything as a learning lesson. So though we're just now finding out 6 years later that this happened and this is the reason that he's been so negative on himself and hard on himself, you can look back and say, okay, why did this happen? Mm-hmm. Right. And then you can look at yourself like, okay, I didn't provide the environment, okay, that my child needed in order for them to feel like they could trust and talk to me without judgment and just be open and honest and let that out, right? Which leads us really to the first point, right? And that first thing is that you got to get yourself right so you can be right for your kids.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, we were just starting to get ourselves right, you know, just really, really getting on the other end. So we still hadn't created that environment because we hadn't created that environment within our own personal self. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And we talk about this all the time in whether it's your relationship, now parenting, whether it's just your relationship with yourself, mm-hmm. man, you got to get yourself right. You are not good for anyone else if you're a mess.
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing with all of this is to get yourself right, mm-hmm. right? Fix you, find who you are.
Yes.
Bring some peace to your own self.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, you can move forward with helping other people and pursuing your passions and your dreams and whatever.
And they'll be in the people, especially your children, they'll be able to see that as an example of like, wow, look at you. You know what I'm saying? Like you really like you've gone through so much, right? And yet you're able to still be this person that you are. Like you're showing up as a light, right? And not darkness. And yet you've been through so much. Why? Because you really took time to work on yourself. And I think that that's like, I love how you said that. It was like, yeah, 5 years ago, how could Eli feel like he could really come to us and share this? Because we weren't at a good space even within ourselves to be able to be that light for him. So he felt open enough to be like, hey, this is what happened to me. Well, did he know he always had two parents that loved him? Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Did he know he had two parents that would go to bat for him? He knows that. But there was also these things that we were still working on within ourselves that he didn't feel comfortable enough that he could go ahead and come to us and tell us this information. And so,
and even if maybe he wanted to, we didn't provide the environment for him to feel comfortable to do it, you mm-hmm. know, and that's the key is like we as parents, we hold that power of environment, right? We control that environment. And a lot of times we make a lot of excuses of why we can't provide the correct environment for our children. And why, and I'm gonna say this real quick. The reason that this is so important is because everything affects your marriage, mm-hmm. everything. So this relationship with your kids or lack thereof is going to influence and bring some form of dynamic, added dynamic to your relationship that you have with your spouse. So just keep that in mind as well, right? Like this all, everything plays a part, everything. So it's good to get this right. All right. So get yourself right. So that way you can be right for your kids. Your kids need you. They need us. I can't stress this enough. There's a lot of parents.
Should share with them what Dr. Jones and you talked about parenting and how a lot of parents now they do what they turn around and they stop parenting at a certain because they're like, oh, my kids are a certain age.
So, oh, yeah.
But they don't fail to understand yet.
Yeah. We were talking. I have a therapist. And so just so y'all know, that's a good thing. Okay. It's good to go get professional help. It's good to anchor yourself outside of your house into somebody that knows what they're talking about. Make sure you find a good one though. All right. Anyway, so we were sitting here and now we're like best friends kind of talking, right? When I go there, it's not really helping anything other than just two dudes talking. And we ended up getting on the subject of kids. And he said that, you know, the problem is that parents, they get to a certain point and they say, well, I've done everything. I've taught them how to do this, to read, write, you know, go to school. And then they just want to check out. Okay. They want to sit on their little, you know, sun chair and drink Mai Tais on the beach and not feel like they are involved in their kids' lives anymore. And the thing is that you're always, or you should always be involved, but it transitions, right? Mm-hmm. It goes from, you know, being more of a mentor to just that lighthouse, right? A guiding light. So you think about a lighthouse, it doesn't get involved with what the ship's doing. Okay. It just shines light. Okay. It says, hey, this is where you want to go, or this is where you want to avoid. Right. And so when we get to a certain point in parenting, that's what we have to transition to. We don't necessarily, because now it's their turn to steer mm-hmm. the ship. And even if they're going the wrong way, okay, you still shed the light and you allow that light to shine on what's in front of them. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is this, even if they don't listen to you, I want everyone to understand this. Like, how did you gain any wisdom in your life? You went through it. Like that's how all of us really get to a place of wisdom. Okay. Is you experience something and you had to get to on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. The cool thing is when you're that lighthouse in your kid's life and you've been shining light on what's in front of them, and they, even if they don't listen and they go through it, when they get on the other side, they're going to say, that's what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then it clicks and they have a higher probability of not going back into that same mistake as if we weren't that guiding light and they were just going into each wave, you know, and just blindly into the darkness. Okay. So understand our role is always, we're always going to have a role in our children's lives. It just shifts. Okay. So don't think that you just get to check out, all right? And you shouldn't want to, I don't think, right? Like I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I think that as parents, that's our job, you know? And so it's a good transition and it was a great analogy.
It really was a great analogy. So, that's why I wanted you to share it.
Yeah. All right. Number two. We've been talking about this, right? Creating a space for honesty and no judgment. So us parents, we think we know it all.
We do.
Right?
And we've been there before.
Yeah, I'm I'm 50 years old. Right. I got 4 kids and I have been working at my job for 20 years.
What do you know? You're not even wet behind the ears. All those little, right? Yeah. All those little sayings that people, you've heard them say. And
so out the gate, you judging, right? Like out the gate, you're trying to project the vibe, right? Instead of just giving that floor open and allowing them to feel free to express what's on their mind. Here's the thing about kids, especially the when they're young, they are honest. They're honest. They're it's so pure, right? Mm-hmm. Kids are so pure. They don't have any motives. They, you know, they're not trying to cut angles. Like they just tell you how it is. We are so, so focused on what we think, right? That we neglect what they're telling us. They're telling us what it is. Mm-hmm. They're telling us what they need, mm-hmm. but we're not listening.
Right.
And so when we talk about creating a space, okay, that also means really taking that judgment, taking that opinion, and allowing them to tell us what's on their heart. Tell us that truth. And then we can add our wisdom on the back end, right? We can add that wisdom once they've gotten out what's going on. Because also, if we don't allow those details to come out, how can we truly help them, right? We're not giving, we don't know the whole picture, right? Then we can't really give them the help that they need in that moment. So I would just say that, yeah, when we talk about this, it's real important to just really hold back and allow them to have that moment. Right.
And I mean, you think about it, what really is trying to, if we go a little deeper, right, what is it trying to control the whole scenario? It's your ego.
Yeah.
It's your ego trying to stand in to say like they, you know, like, you know, more than they do. Right. So then, of course, there already a wall is built with your child. Right. And just think about it. As adults, we fail to remember what it was like when we were that age. So you got young adults. We do. We have young adults that live in our home. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, that's not smart. Don't do that. Don't say this. You know what I'm saying? Act like this. And I fail to understand. Wait, I raised him. I raised him. So I need to let go. I need to know that what I did as he was a young man, right? And as she was a young lady, that they're going to carry that on. And whatever path they're supposed to go on, God's got them. It's not me. That's not my path, right? Everybody has their own individual path. Yes, I'm the mother. I brought them here. I'm the vessel here. I was a light. I'm still trying to be a guided light, right? But how can I allow them to feel like they can come to me even in their 20s, even 19? How could I make them, if I'm every time they bring something to me, I'm judging them. Every time that I don't agree with their decisions, I'm judging them. I'm telling them they're wrong. I'm telling them you should not do this. So I'm still trying to control them. They're not looking for me to control them. They're looking for me to just be there. They're looking for me to show them what love. They're looking for me to say, yes, I don't understand why you want to do this. I don't understand, you know, I don't understand your thought pattern behind this. Hey, you know, I say, have you given this a lot of thought? Sometimes they're like, yeah, of course I have, even though I know they haven't. But at the end of the day, guess what? If, like you said earlier, if they go through it, if they actually go through all with all that their thoughts are, right? And it doesn't turn out the way they want it to, they're going to learn the lesson from that. Without me, and I can just be there to just back them up. I can be there just as like, I love you. I don't have to bail you out of it, but I can love you through it.
Yeah, you are the light, right? And you don't not give them the wisdom and the experience, but you do it in love. Mm-hmm. And then, man, what we've been learning is you let it be.
Yes.
Right? Like, leave the results alone.
Yep.
Okay? There, one, it's kind of like that. That effect, right? Where if you try to pull something to you, it tries to run away from you, mm-hmm. right? if you run after, or if you leave it alone and you're like, whatever, right, then it wants to come to you. So a lot of times that trickery has to be used on our kids, right? Where we just say, okay, cool, do you. I gave you my opinion. I gave you my insight. Go do your thing, right? And of course, there's always got to be age appropriate right. Thing. You know, you don't do that to your 4-year-old, right? Like, hey, just do your thing, homie, right? Like, I hope y'all understand.
That's
it,
why
right?
I said young adults. That's why I was very specific, because you brought light to the younger ones and that we should listen to them. But I wanted to bring light to our younger adults. A lot of times they act out because they feel like they're not heard. They act out and do things because they feel like they're judged anyway. So why not just do it? Right. Yeah. And did we not once feel that way? We once were like made up in our mind. Like, I know I did. I know that I was like, this is the way I want to do things. This is how I want to live my life. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I appreciate your guidance and your wisdom, but I still want to go do this X, Y, and Z. And I did go do X, Y, and Z. And then the results of that was a whole different consequence, right? But it was a life consequence that I had to deal with. And I was able to learn from it more than my parents just, you know, constantly telling me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, they allow me. They allow me to go see what that's like. And then you know what? Whatever happens, it's going to happen. We always tell you guys, right? That whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen regardless if you want to stop it or not. 100%. And whatever is not supposed to happen is going to not happen, because that's just the way that life is. So at the end of the day, we should just go ahead and say, you know what? I know that I raised you a certain way. I know that God's in you. I know that I'm going to show you love. And I know that at the end of the day, you know that you can come back right here with me. And guess what? I got you. I mean, I'd always agree with you, but I got you. And if your kids know that, they just know those certain things, right? I'm telling you that they feel more comfortable with then making decisions based upon what it is that God has put inside of them. And also you as God shining light for them to say, you know what? They might even step right. It's kind of like movies you see all the time. Like somebody's about to go do something they're not supposed to, right? Then all of a sudden, the last minute, they know that that intuition is like, don't do that. And like, yo, I can't do this. I can't. You know, it's within me that says that this is not right. This doesn't feel right. So I got to bail. And then they go bail out, right? And then whatever consequence happens to the other people that choose to still follow through, they're like, yo, I'm so glad I wasn't in that. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and just always remember, like, if they go and do their thing and you weren't, you know, agreeing with it, okay, and then they have to learn the hard way. One, like I told you before, that's how you gain real wisdom, mm-hmm. okay? It's not by listening to what somebody else said. It's really by experience, right? That's where, if you've never been through it, you don't really know it.
Right.
Okay. It's only when you're going through it. So if they do that and they have to learn the hard way, that's no parent wants, but it happens. When they come back, you have to accept that with love. Not I told you so.
Right.
Like, well, I told you you would hate that and that, and then you just make them feel worse about it, and you make them feel like they're not capable of making the right decision. So guess what they're going to do? Make another bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which leads us to the next point. Right. And that's building up our children. Okay. From jump, you should be speaking positivity over your children. Mm-hmm. You should be telling them what and how God sees them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that they can begin to look in the mirror and see that in themselves.
Yes.
And it starts at an early age. And even if you haven't been doing that, it's never too late. You That's just right. always, even if they're acting like, oh, sometimes they just act like ass clowns, right? And you're like, oh my God, I want to strangle you. You still have to speak over them that positivity. You mm-hmm. still have to project the greatness that you see inside of them. And when they make knucklehead decisions and they don't do the right things, you still double down on the fact that they're smart, they're intelligent, they're wise. Okay. They're stronger now. Okay. These are the ways that it begins to become a subconscious program within them. And then that program runs when we're not around. Cause isn't that the goal, right? And that's what Linnell's been saying. Like, they go off, they got to go off and do life.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be able to make those decisions, especially the hard decisions, mm-hmm. when we're not around.
Yeah.
When no one's around.
Right.
Right. And maybe they have a lot of pressure to do the wrong thing, but they still stand on that ground that you formed, right? And you continue to cultivate throughout their childhood, right? And so that's why this is so important, because then they're going to go out and make good decisions, go do positive things, make a big difference in the world. So it's really important.
We are going to take a quick commercial break, but when I come back, we will finish this topic up, building up our children. Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your girl, Chrissy, here to let you know that the Evening Rush Network now has an app. Yes, an app, you guys. So you can stay connected on the go and watch all your favorite podcast shows. You can download the app at Google Play Store or Apple iTunes. So spread the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Also, if you're looking to start a podcast and really don't know how, well, hit us up at theeveningrushnetwork@gmail.com and inquire about time slots, pricings, and everything you may need to get started. We got you. Join the winning team, the Evening Rush Network. And also, download that app. What are you waiting for? Get to it.
You're now listening to the Evening Rush Network.
I'm not right.
What up? So, look, if you hadn't been watching and you just started watching, go back and watch the whole thing. I think that we've been hitting a lot of good points here. You know, we're talking about building up our children. And, you know, I think that it's just it's not done enough. Right. And here's the thing. Like, before we got off, I was talking about when they don't act the right way. And that happens a lot, right? We got four kids over here, and trust me, we go through, okay? Especially when they hit that teenage, early adult, man, they know everything. They got it all, right? And it can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. And this is why you let the results fall on God's lap instead of yours, mm-hmm. but you double down on your responsibilities, okay? I'm a firm believer that if you do what you're supposed to, God's going to take it from there, and everything's going to work itself out the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. I remember being a kid making all the wrong decisions and everybody telling me how I'm not going to make anything out of myself. And, you know, the same thing that happened to Elisha, my son, about being called dumb, actually happened to me, right? When, around the same age as him. And I was called dumb, and it messed me up. I'm not going to lie. Like, I held on to that. Mm-hmm. And this is why it's so important that when they come home from the world, they're hearing what they really are.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Because the world, these teachers, these other people, they don't have an obligation to do the right thing by your child. Mm-hmm. They should, but it is what it is. You can't control what you can't control. But when they come home, or when they're in the car with you before school, after school, and you pick them up, Linnell writes little notes in the lunchbox still, right? So that way, when they open it up, there's a positive message. Mm-hmm. So even in the midst of being in an environment that might be somewhat negative that day, he gets a little shimmer of light, okay, that might get him through the rest of the day. And this reinforcement of what he really is, mm-hmm. right? Also, I think contributes to their willingness to speak to us, mm-hmm. because they know that we see more in them than maybe what they see at the moment, right? And so all of this plays a part in creating that open door for your child, okay? I just wanted to throw that out.
No, that was really good. I loved everything you said. At the end of the day, he's so right about just being that light for your children and speaking positivity to them, with them too. Speak with them. Like, hey, yeah. I want you to say this affirmation with me. We have our boys listen to affirmations, I am affirmations, every single night when they go to sleep, so that it is going inside their system. Okay. And they start believing it when they wake up. That's how they feel. And you know what? They said that they actually love it. At first they were a little annoyed by it. Yeah. But then they're like, hold on, I need my meditation. I have to have it. And I walk in at night and I see it playing and I listen to it, and I'm so grateful to God, because it might have been a struggle at first, but now they're so guided by it, right? And they remember that I am this, I am that. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. No, I know this about myself. I know that I am great. I know that I'm intelligent. I know that I am handsome. I know. So, and when you have people, right, and you have people that love you speak those positive, you know, affirmations into you, guess what? You become an adult and still remember those things. I remember like my dad always telling me like, you're beautiful without makeup, you know, like you're an intelligent human being, like you could do anything you want to do. Like, don't ever let anybody, you know, take you down. Don't let anybody ever tell you you couldn't do something. Like, he was always speaking these things to me constantly. So when I got with guys and they'd be like, oh, you're beautiful. I know. You can't tell me because I know. Some people say conceited. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I knew a lot about myself because I was told by my father. I was told by my father these things and I believed them. So you trying to come at me and spit game. You trying to come at me and try to tell me something. I already know these things about me. Come with something else. Right. And I think if more children grew up knowing these things about themselves, their security about who they are then enlightens them. Their confidence built up a little bit more. You see insecurity in so many kids because they don't know themselves.
Well, and I want to point something out too, because you said something, you said, I already knew that about myself, so come with something else.
Yeah.
And what's important about this is that when you know who you are, you don't fall for just anything.
Amen.
The slick talk, yeah. Right? Like, I guess every dad out there that's got little girls knows what I'm talking about, right? Because we guys, right? We know what guys do, right? We know the silver tongue, right? And we know what's behind that. But when your daughter really knows who she is, her worth, okay, all that slick talk, that's all it is, right? It doesn't get anywhere with her because she already stands on something solid. You gotta give me something worth my time, worth some elevation in my life, right? You gotta give me something that's gonna, yeah, elevate me, all right, for lack of better words.
And I want to say too, I just remember my parents, like my mother was really biblical, very, very biblical. And so she was always speaking the word of verse. And I remember she was always like this and that, you need to learn this verse and you need to remember this verse, blah, 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 blah. And always giving examples of the Bible and stuff. And, you know, as I got older, I don't go to church because I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual, but I just, I've had different moments with my mother since my father passed away, and she's called me and she'll say this and that. And I'm always then going back to repeat something that she said. I don't say it in the biblical, you know, way, but it's said in the way for her to understand that I heard what you said when I was younger. And it starts to make her cry because she's like, you actually did hear me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I heard you. And she's like, I didn't think you were even listening. I know you weren't thinking I was listening. And she's like, I'm crying because you and your brother, my younger brother, both of y'all really kind of left home and weren't big on going to church and anything like that. But y'all both heard me and y'all were both listening because now you guys are using my words to help me get through things. And I'm like, well, that was the whole point, right? I'm like, you raised us right. You kept encouraging us. You kept putting that seed in us every single time, even when you thought we weren't listening, every time that you thought that we weren't trying to pay attention, even when our actions weren't showing that we heard you, yes, you were planting that seed and you didn't stop. That's what I would like to encourage you all to do. Keep planting that seed in your children. Same thing, my father, he kept planting the seed of understanding who I was, who I was created. And so not only was I was receiving it from my mother in a biblical standpoint from God, right? Coming from the word of God, God speaking this into me, the father who created me, but then I'm hearing my earthly father say these things to me. So when you're a young lady and you're hearing this from both sides, how can you not feel like you are dynamic? How can you not feel like you can do anything? How can you not walk around like you are that light? And that's what I realized, that we, as you know, we as adults have to start doing that more for our children.
And fellas, we need to do this with our young men as well.
Oh, amen. Right. Amen.
The world needs some good men. All right.
You need men to show.
We missing that right now. I'm just going to talk to y'all man to man right now. We missing that right now. And it's us as men that have to step up and do that. Okay. here's what I want to, I'm going to give you an example, right? Because whatever's within us is what's going to come out of us. If you had a glass of water and you took some dirt and threw it in the water, the whole glass is going to look dirty. Okay. Just a little bit of dirt makes the entire thing look dirty. But if I took some clean water and began to pour it in that cup, right? Slowly that dirty water begins to come out, right? And come out. And I just keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring. And soon it's clear again. Okay. Here's the thing. Dirt is always going to be trying to come into our children's life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job to be the glass of clean water that continues to steady pouring.
I love it.
Steady pouring. Okay. Because if we don't, it just takes a little bit to make that whole thing look dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Just a little bit. Think about your own life. Think about the little things that took you in a whole different direction. And when you look back, you're like, man, I wish I had known that. I wish I had done that. I wish somebody had said this to me. Be the change that you want to see in your child's life. Okay. Be the person holding that glass. Just, no, I'm not giving up. I'm just going to keep pouring. I'm just going to keep pouring. Right. And I promise you're going to have one hell of a glass of water. All right.
And do it with love. Just don't forget to do it with love. Don't do it with a judgment's heart. Don't do it with a, you know, condemning heart. Don't do it with a reprimanding heart. Do it with love. It's not always easy. Trust me, we are two adults over here raising four children, okay, from almost 23 to almost 13. So we get it. But if you walk within love and you do everything within love, and love is God, and that shines, it becomes easier. It really does. And another thing, it's a little secret, right? It keeps you at peace. It keeps you at peace. You don't stress. You ain't stressing. You ain't worried. There's no anxiety. You not over here like, oh my God, this child, that, you know, all these. No, because you know that at the end of the day, you've done your part and that God's got the rest, and let it go.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, so the last tip for today is balancing respect as a parent and openness like a friend.
Mm. This is the hardest.
This is the hardest one.
Yeah. We're extremists as people, right?
Yeah.
Like we fall on one side or the other. Like you got the ultra respect heavy people that like, you're going to show me this respect and you're going to do what I say. And if you don't follow my every word, then you're disrespecting me, that type person. Mm-hmm. And then you got the person that's best friends with their kids, but it never disciplines them, never calls them out on the stuff that they do wrong. And both are wrong if that's all you're going to do, right? Balance is the right thing. That you, yes, you still need respect, and you should hold those boundaries in your kids' life. So you should always have boundaries in your kids' life, in your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your parents, your friends. Every relationship should have healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again, healthy boundaries. All right. I'm not going to talk about that today, so you can figure out what that looks like in your life, but you should have those boundaries. But then we should also be able to create that open environment that allows our children to feel comfortable to talk to us, right? And be honest with us and create that dialogue between us and them. So that way we can help them as they move forward through this life. Man, life is hard. Mm-hmm. It's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
There is no outside of them. No one knows them better than us, right? No one knows them. So we have to listen to them because no one knows them better than them. So we need to hear how they feel, how they're processing it, how they're looking at this situation. So that way we have the full picture and we can address it, which we already said. I'm not going to keep repeating myself. But so we need that openness, right? But we also have to know when to shift over a little bit and say, hold on, that's too far. You've taken a little, all right, don't take my kindness for weakness.
Right.
Okay. Don't turn this respect into disrespect just because I'm being cool right now. And so we have to be able to balance the two. Okay. And keep that balance. And again, this is not easy. It takes a lot of practice. Give yourself grace. because you're going to make some mistakes along the way, especially if you're a new parent. Mm-hmm. If you, you know, it, man, it took us a long time and we still sometimes tip over on, yep. on one side or the other, like, right. You just give yourself grace. You learn from it and you keep moving. And your kids are going to see that, man. Yeah. They're going to see how hard you're trying, how hard you're working. And it's going to, it might not seem like it in the moment, but it's going to turn out exactly the way it's supposed to. And they're going to look back and have tons of respect. You know, speaking of Lanelle's talking about her younger brother, right? And her younger brother and her mom got into it. Mm-hmm. And there was a few years he moved out. He got upset with her because she was kind of putting boundaries on him, right? And he didn't like the boundaries. And he was like, nope, I'm out. And so for there was a few years where they were not close at all, right? Like there was a lot of static between her and him. And it didn't look good, you know? But something amazing happened, mm-hmm. right? Over time, that was dealt with. Healing took place. Mm-hmm. And now they have an amazing relationship, mm-hmm. all right? And he needed to have that time where he was kind of rebellious doing his thing to learn.
Yep.
Because some of us need that to learn. Like me, I'm hard-headed. I need to get hit in the head a lot before it like sinks in, you know? And there's people like that. And there's some people that are just, you just explain it to them. They're like, yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to do that.
Right, right, right.
But it all worked out the way it's supposed to. She never stopped loving him.
Right.
Okay. She never stopped praying for him. Never stopped, you know, taking the moments that he did give her and exploiting those mm-hmm. with love.
Yep.
So that way, when it all lined up, they could rekindle that relationship and have something special. So even if you're in that stage where it doesn't look good, where, you know, maybe your kids are kind of just being like whatever to you. And you're like, man, I don't know how I deserve this. Just hold firm in what I just said mm-hmm. and know that God's going to work it out.
Yep. No, that was so good. Thank you for using that, because that's a great example of, you know, when you have young adults and how you do have to let them go. You have to let them go in order for them to learn. How many times, right, as an adult, I had to call my mother up and be like, oh, first thing, I'm so sorry. And she start laughing and she's like, oh, so you going through? I'm like, yes. I'm like, I never thought that I would be here. I didn't think I would be at this point. I'm like, and I didn't see it at the time from your point of view when I was growing up and what you were trying to show me. I didn't see it. But now that I'm raising my own children, now that I am an adult, now I'm seeing the things that you were trying to guide me through, right? And now I'm going through with my own kids. It looks different, right? Because we're different. But it's the same kind of scenario, you know, in a sense. And she's like, yeah, she was like, and that's the thing. She was like, everybody's going to go through. Everybody's going to go through whatever challenge they're going to go through, whether you have kids or you don't have kids. I just told my 22-year-old this. I said, let me tell you something. I said, this moment in life that you're going through right now, I said, you may not have children, right? But you might have friends that have children. So you might be going through whatever you're going through to be able to help your friend get through it with their child. Yeah. So whatever you're going through in life, understand it's not always for you. It's always for you to get through so that you can then help somebody else get through it. I really believe every challenge that we went through within our marriage was to get us to the point we never knew that we were going to ever become marriage coaches, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that wasn't a part of the plan, no. But here we are, and we love helping people. We love seeing couples stay together, couples get through things. We love helping single people figure out things for themselves before they even get in a relationship, so that when they do get in a relationship, they're not going down a path that we had to go through, right? It's all full circle, everything in life. And so when you decide to say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna love them for where they're at. I'm going to still be the guiding light. As he said, my mother was, she did every moment that my brother would pick up that phone and call her, she was there. She was there. And not to bail him out, but to listen, yeah. To just listen. Okay, I hear you. Okay, I got you. Okay, well, what are you going to do about that? Right? Because it's not always for us to bail our kids out either. That's another thing, right? Yeah. When we come from that balance of being their friend and then being respect, a lot of time the respect comes from them falling.
Yeah.
Amen. And for us just then being like, oh, here's my hand. I'll help you up, right? But I'm not here to bail you out, but I got a hand to help you up. That's all it is. Dust that dirt off and keep going. Yeah. And the more that you do that with your children, even from an early age on, man, will they look back as their adults going through their own scenarios saying, wow, like I appreciate my parents because they really did. They were there. You know, they were. My son actually said that to me before we got on the podcast, like how much respect and love I really do have for you and dad, because the more I think about it, you two really have been there for me out of everybody in my life. And I was just like, wow, thank you. And he was like, I know I don't always show it. He's very quiet and to himself. He was like, and I know I don't always say thank you. And I know I don't always, you know, he doesn't always, you know, his actions aren't like, hey, I love you guys so much. None of that. But he was like, oh, no, I'm so appreciative of you guys, because the moments when I didn't have anything and I didn't have anybody, you guys were always there.
And I want to insert something, because you said you were talking about letting them go through stuff, right? And I want y'all to, how do we become resilient, right? I keep saying stuff, but we have to go through it. If you go to the gym right now, you don't get strong by sitting down with a bag of popcorn watching some muscle-bound dude work out, right? That's not how you're going to get strong. You have to go and you have to exert yourself, and there's going to be weight and resistance, and it's going to hurt a little bit, and you're going to have to continue to come back over and over and put yourself in these situations where it exerts you and it's uncomfortable and it's hard, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of weight, okay? But over time, what ends up happening is you become ultra strong, and what used to be hard for you is a breeze. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to get you down now, right? And we want that not just for our own lives, but we want that for our kids. We mm-hmm. want them to be resilient, because life's not going to stop throwing stuff their way.
Right.
We want, what is that Rocky quote? Like, it's not about how hard you get hit or how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep going, or something like that. I can't see that movie, right? But yo, that is real, man. That is real. And when we arm our kids with the right stuff and then allow them to do that, they succeed. It's crazy.
It's like a soldier going out for battle, right? At the end of the day, if they don't have the right armor on, right, they can get hit by a bow and arrow. They can get hit, I mean, with the...
We'll be back in
the... Hey, I'm just saying, you know, your bow and arrow, you get hit with an axe, you get hit with a gun, Vikings. Whatever you... Hey, I like Vikings. You know, anything of that nature. Okay, use a gun. I don't care what you use, right? Your fist. You get hit, right? And you don't have the right armor on, you're gonna die. You know what I'm saying? Or you're going to really get hurt. But you turn around, you got the right armor on, you got that steel, right? You pat it down. Come on now. They could throw anything at you. And it's like a ricochet. Like, what was that? You know, like, thank you. Like, okay, I got this. Yeah. It's no different. It's no different. They'll be guarded, right, by your thoughts. They'll be guarded by your love. They'll be guarded by what you taught them. They'll be guarded with the intuition of knowing that they got the right answer within them, right? And then no matter, even if I do make a decision that wasn't right, I went through that on my own, right? And now I've learned from it, or I haven't learned yet, and I still got to keep going, and I still got to keep going, I still got to keep doing. Eventually, they will get it and they will learn, right? And only thing they're asking us to do is keep an open door and to love them. And that's it.
Yeah, man. It's a process. Be patient.
Yes.
But keep that open door for them, right? We went all over the place on this one. But it's all really good, right? And that's the thing, is whether you have young kids or you have young adults or already grown adults, I think we gave y'all something for every single one of those situations. And understanding our role in this and providing that door for them to come in and just talk to us, and us providing that space for them, is so, so important, mm-hmm. man. If you haven't done that, or you've been kind of doing the opposite, it's never too late, man. Right? Like, the last thing I want to say is we are parents that say we're sorry all the time.
I was going to say that. I was going to, like, yes, like, that has to be brought up.
You know, when I was a kid, parents never said they're sorry.
Right.
At least none that I saw. I didn't really have parents like that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I saw other parents, and I never heard them say they were sorry, that they made a mistake, that how they corrected them was overboard. None of that stuff. But that's all real, man. Like, as parents, our kids are going to irk us. They're going to do some really, really, really just some things that really push you places you didn't think that you would even go with your own child, right? And we don't always handle it the right way. Let's be honest. Sometimes we raise our voice. Sometimes we go overboard. And sometimes we say things that we shouldn't have said and that aren't uplifting. So the power of saying, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. man, it goes a long way.
Yep.
Just to let them know, like, yo, I was out of pocket, right? Like I don't feel that way about you, and I shouldn't have done it like that. And this is how I should have done it. This is what I should have said. This is what I meant to say. I was, and they will learn from that.
Yes.
You are always the example.
Always the example. Yeah.
Be graceful even when you're messing up,
that's
man.
That's right. Because we want grace and we want mercy, right? For everything that we do as adults. And you know what? We had did a show before. No, we did a mail call about why do we give passes, right? The guy was talking about why do homeboys give passes to their bros, right? But they don't give passes to their woman, yeah. right? They're ladies that take care of the kids, take care of them, but they'll forgive their dudes.
Out, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They'll take care. Their dudes can do whatever. Loyal. But the chicks at home, the ladies that they nah. You know what I'm saying? They say one wrong thing, they mess up, whatever. They forget to have dinner at 5 o'clock, whatever. They didn't. They might have washed something they weren't supposed to wash. They didn't have whatever it is, right? And I love that he brought that up. It's no different. It's no different than our kids, right? Why would we give passes to our friends? You give passes to other people when they mess up, but you don't turn around and you don't give passes to your own children. You hold them hostage for things that they've done and said and messed up and they just trying to learn just like we are every single day. So give your kids passes and grace and mercy because they need it just as much as we do. Okay. Cause you know what? One day we sit here and God's looking at us like, yo, you ain't perfect. You ain't perfect either. You're my child. So let me condemn you for what you did. I'm just saying that's the truth.
You might be in a situation where you need that grace from your child.
Yep.
In the future. So just keep that in mind, right? Like, yeah, I think that was a good ending point because that was a good point. I hope that you guys got something out of that. I think next week we'll talk a little more about that scenario that she was talking about, and we'll talk about loyalty. And really go into depth about loyalty next week. So stay tuned for that and whatever you want.
If you have not downloaded the Evening Rush Network app, I'm not sure why you have not. And what are you waiting for? Okay. If you have any questions or concerns, once again, please hit us up on My Bulletproof Marriages at e360tvlive.com. Or you can join our Facebook group. We have couples in there, been married for 40 plus years. We have single people in there. And if you would like to DM us your questions, your concerns, if you would like a private chat with us, just hit us up. We're here for you. We love you guys. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your week. So we see you next week, fam.
I'm not sure I understand it, but everything seems